How is everyone doing tonight?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Two Beers in a Tipsy Political Roundtable. I'm Cody Lindquist.
And I'm Charlie Todd. We're so happy to be here live at Caveat doing this show. Yeah. We want to thank Tyler Walker, who did our theme music, who we just saw, who I don't thank enough. Who here had a political argument this past weekend? Anybody have any good Thanksgiving arguments at home?
Oh, wow. Anywhere? Everybody here has perfect harmony in their family lives. Wow, aren't you lucky?
We didn't travel, so we didn't get into any politics.
No, we're married. We forgot to say that at the top of the show. We are a married couple,
we
didn't fight over politics because we generally agree with each other. I don't think there's anything we don't agree with.
Politically?
Yeah. Charlie's pro gun.
I love guns so
loves
much.
Them. Yep.
Yeah.
Loves them so much.
Need to be more of them. Need to get rid of that.
That was sarcasm. we didn't get it. We have two children. We didn't fight with them.
Speaking of guns and children, I bought a Nerf gun today, and we're so not into guns that was really hard because my child really wants a Nerf gun, and they look like AR-15s.
Yeah, we were like, sure, Nerf gun, no problem. And then Charlie starts looking. He's like, I'm buying a machine gun for our 7-year-old.
I'm buying a plastic AR-15. So I had a conversation with him. He recently figured out that Santa Claus isn't real, so we've been upfront with him about presents.
Are there any children in the audience?
Oh, God. I hope there are no...
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No children listening to the podcast.
Yeah. We'll have to insert a warning in there.
Anyway, I had a frank conversation with him about, like, how we don't really like guns so much, and, it's a little weird, and maybe some of your friends' parents don't like guns. Do you really want this Nerf gun? He said, yes, it's number one on my list. So
our kid's getting a machine gun for Christmas. We're the best parents
that
in the world.
Not allowed to use inside.
Real quick, funny story about fake guns. I used to do sketch comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Thank you. And it was really hard to find prop guns. Well, I was cleaning out my mom's garage maybe about 8 years ago. And I found a few realistic looking toy guns from when I was a child. And I thought, this is the best. I'm going to bring these home. I'm going to use them as props on stage. Well, I put them in my carry-on luggage.
Ooh.
And guys, thank God I'm a white woman. I was able to throw them in the trash. And that was, I didn't get arrested.
But did a security, you've remembered before you went through security?
Oh, yeah. No, I had to, while they were on the belt about to go through, I was like, wait, I have to remove my guns and put them in the trash. And they laughed because, again, I'm a white woman. And it was hilarious that a mom of two children was just like throwing some guns away in the... Anyway, guys, guns are a real problem. I'm sure we'll talk about that during the show.
All right. Well, why don't we start the show? What do you think? You guys ready to meet our wonderful panel? Please welcome to the stage our first panelist. She is the co-host of an amazing podcast that covers local news here in New York City, FAQ NYC. She's also an associate professor at Fordham University. Please welcome Dr. Christina Greer.
Woo! Up next, we have the co-host of the Betches sub-podcast and writer for Celebrity Dating Game, Millie Tamarez.
And finally, he is a producer on Showtime's Desus and Mero. Please welcome Justin Tyler.
Yeah.
All right.
So
welcome, everybody.
Justin, you have kids. Would you buy your kids a Nerf gun?
Yes. And let me be honest. I already have Nerf guns that are mine. So it's easy to just gift them.
So we're not going to hell. We're in good company.
They're
good to know.
Fine.
Good to know.
I know.
It's just the way they
like
look.
Guns.
It's the way they look. I mean, I have no problem shooting foam bullets at each other and running around, and I would have loved to have had that as a kid. It's just clicking by on the thing that's that form factor was weird for me.
Right. And I will say they do load like you're like, oh, the one we have is like click, click. You're like, oh, this is very gunny. And you load
gunny.
It. In. Gunny.
Oh.
Yeah, you can buy like SWAT vests.
Yeah, exactly. It is. I would
touch
like to.
It's different for black kids.
Yeah. Our son is white.
Whoa.
Case.
No.
Okay, first of all.
Yes.
I did not agree
white.
To this shit. So let me just get up.
I lied to Millie and told her our children weren't white. No, they are. So, yes, it is different. Obviously, it's different. But
I don't know. I feel like black kids can have a Nerf gun. Like a bright orange gun. Well, I feel like they made them. Okay, well, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he had like a BB gun. Not to justify it at all. But
I do think too, I did give me pause. Like, I'm like, we live in New York City. Like, where is he gonna take this gun? Because
yeah.
I do think it also is a little bit different in a city to see a kid running around a playground with
yeah,
a gun.
Yeah, that's true. That's an in-home thing. First of all, the bullets are so expensive.
I don't want to lose
Nerf
them.
Ones. Yeah, yeah, right. You have to do them inside.
Yeah, you have to keep track of them. I wish that's how all guns work.
At least for black parents, it's still a thought process.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Unless it's your own personal backyard. I don't know how many parents are going to let
them
run
the streets. Well,
of course,
no one's like, all right, good luck out
there.
Even
if, yeah, even if it's like a bright orange fluorescent green
gun.
Yeah,
of course, of course.
It's like, do you want to take the gamble?
But there, the spectrum of gun gets fucked up fast. Because once you get a BB gun, it's like, that's a gun.
That's a
full-on
gun-looking
gun.
We let our
shoot
son
your
watch
eyes out, is what they say about
we let our son watch Home Alone this weekend, and there's lots of BB gun shooting in that movie, and he's just they're
that
just laughing.
Wild.
It is so dangerous.
It's like, the 80s are insane, and I feel like that movie was like a holdover from the 80s. Like you left first of all, no one leaves the youngest child. You leave the middle child. But like
yeah, exactly.
No, actually, I'm the
baby.
Youngest.
I mean, I'm the youngest, so I definitely feel like I get in where I fit in.
I'm number 5 of 6. I got left a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I'm
Home
purpose.
Alone is regular for you. You're like, I am
like
Home
PTSD.
Alone.
Oh, it would, but I feel like it would be great. I'm like, finally, I can use the bathroom. I can fucking eat whatever. No one's like going to beat me.
Except
know.
Except for those people who try to break into the house and kill them.
Well, ain't nothing in my house to stay.
I love that you've dispensed with like hundreds of wet bandits over the years.
You want to steal some?
Like wet bandits being the name of the thieves.
The thieves from
yeah,
Home Alone. That's the crime. The crime element that no one talks about.
I think Home Alone was really educational for me. Watching it as an adult, it really contextualized. Like, all these white guys that I know doing comedy, they're all grown Kevin McAllisters.
Honestly,
I didn't understand, 100%. And then I did. I'm like, y'all are just okay.
That man's house is fucking huge. Huge, and he's taking his entire family to Paris?
Paris.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and they got like tech. He got like the Walkman that recorded.
Yeah, that little talkie-walkie thing or walkie-talkie thing.
That was high tech then. But I mean, imagine how expensive. There were like 30 people going to Paris for Christmas. That's like 20 grand.
And they're in first class.
They're
in first class too.
Yeah.
They're in first class. I was like, yes, they're in first class. On their way to Paris. Are you fucking kidding me, McAllisters? What is he doing? Is he selling drugs?
Well,
I don't
if you
know.
Buy 15 tickets, one is going to be like, you don't think there's going to be like a one is first class deal or something?
Yeah, there's a baker's dozen situation
yeah,
with first
for
class
sure,
tickets.
For
yeah,
sure.
That's totally how it works.
Yeah.
I have to go rewatch that.
Yeah, it's good.
It's on Disney
really
Plus. There's Home Alone, which we watched. Then we had to watch Home Alone 2. And then Disney Plus showed the related movies. And one is Home Alone 3, which we had never heard of. And I believe was straight to VHS probably in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Totally new cast. And my son is demanding to watch it now.
Enjoyed
one and two.
Who's the Macaulay Culkin-esque character?
Someone that you've never heard of.
White kid with a bowl cut, I promise.
Yeah.
It's just a bowl cut. arguably cuter, but you know.
Yeah,
it
was a white
kid. It's objective.
Wow, you're rapping Home Alone 3 pretty
hard. I'm not
right
rapping
now.
It. I'm just letting you know the reality, which is, you know, white kid with a bowl cut.
We wanted to start things off light after this serious Home Alone conversation.
And
just talk about Cyber Monday and if anybody did any major shopping today. But also, we did want to talk about inflation and if you guys feel like you're being hit by inflation. Because in the news every night, I'm a vegetarian who doesn't own a car.
And you don't drink milk.
And I don't drink milk. Yeah.
That's good.
So on the news every night, it's like gas prices are going up. Beef is crazy expensive at the grocery store, as is milk. So I feel like I'm living this like very like Whole Foods New York City lifestyle. Maybe I'm dodging inflation, but is it affecting anyone on the panel?
I feel like almond milk in New York is always expensive.
Yeah, it's always been high.
It's always $7.99. So
well, you got to get Whole Foods 365 brand. You know,
it's $2.99 for a half gallon. You get it on sale.
Wow, dropping prices right here. But I will say, in New York, we're insulated because everything sucks all the time here. So we're just like, that's normal. But when I went home for Thanksgiving, my mom was like, over like every day, truly like at one point every day, she was like, the beef tenderloin was $28. Right. And I was like, are we eating that? She's like, of course not. I was like, okay, why are we talking about it as a talking point if it's not coming to the table?
Well, listen, I will say this. I'm a political scientist. When it was the election season for mayor of New York, I basically was like, anyone who can decrease the price of cherries and oxtails has my vote. And my cherries. Dad...
And it went
cherries
Jack,
are expensive.
Cherries are expensive.
Decadent. A friend that's of decadent.
Said
that's decadent.
Cherries are expensive.
Cherries
are
expensive. It's decadent.
Are you
I don't
think
decadent.
So. Millionaire?
I don't think so.
But my dad... So...
Frozen cherries, though, I will hit Trader Joe's is, oh. the, is the key. Yeah.
Okay.
Maraschino cherries, jar for $2.
I learn something every day. Mm-hmm. But the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, my dad was coming up. He smokes all the meats on the grill.
Oh, nice.
He's bringing up the smoked turkey, the smoked lamb. The Ooh. Smoked salmon, you know, the smoked sausages, everything. Okay. And he's calling my phone, and I'm working because I have to work. Mm. And I see a missed call. Still, you know, I'm on a conference call. I see a missed call. I'm doing some podcast stuff. I see a missed call. I'm doing some TV stuff. So now I'm thinking, someone's dead.
There's a meat emergency.
Because it's the holidays.
It's a meat emergency.
This is what happens. So I finally call him back, and I'm like, Dad, you've literally called me 4 times in a row. What's going on? Who's dead? And he's like, I just want to let you know that oxtails are $10 a pound.
Yeah, that's what my mom said.
Hey, sir,
let
me know. I work. Yeah. But, I mean, he was, but basically last year they were $8 a pound.
Oh, so, well, that's
so
a fucking
is he
problem.
Now voting for Trump in 2024?
No.
No. You know
how much would oxtails have to get before he switched
sides? But this is from the Amish. So, like, the Amish are even feeling the inflation.
Wow.
So that's what's going down.
Wait, where are you around Amish? Your family's around Amish?
My dad's in Delaware.
Delaware. Big Amish, because there's a
secret. So we get all the meat from the Amish.
Oh, interesting. Famous for their meats.
Famous for their meats. I got a puppy from an Amish place. Smelled like a pack of pop.
Wait, to cook?
Yeah.
No.
A cooking puppy?
Just making sure.
Pine nuts are also so expensive.
Pine nuts are so
expensive. I'll tell you what, this is the inflation that they think we're talking about in New York City. Well, they're like, well, the
no, I'm
cherries
letting you
and
know.
Pine nuts.
The abalone is wildly off the
Something,
chart.
Okay, fourth, you know, as a single woman in New York City who lives in Brooklyn, okay, I learned something as an adult, and it's like, okay, some things are better when you make them from scratch, right? Some things are cheaper when you make them from scratch. Mm-hmm. Pesto. Was not.
No.
With fucking pine nuts? That shit'll be $30 for a fucking pesto with olive oil and basil. No.
Well, same with ice cream. I made ice cream and I was like, this is
$30. $30.
Yeah. I could've just gotten some organic ice cream.
You get a not nice one, Van Leeuwen. $7.99.
And just so you know, all of the recipes in this episode will be available.
In our show notes.
Check the show notes for all the shopping tips at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's.
I will also say for Cyber Monday, this is terrible. This is awful. Whatever. This is how they got me. Is that now? I mean, which was a common practice before, but now you can pay in installments, Klarna, Afterpay. I think there's a statistic where it's like 25 to 30% of people now purchase where you get, like, let's say you spent $300 on leggings, like I did, and you multiple leggings. I have a dog now. I can't be wearing the same sweatpants to walk my dog. There's hot people at the coffee shop. But... Instead of paying in one chunk, you pay over 6 weeks, $80
Millie,
or whatever the fuck.
You know what they call that?
Layaway.
When I was growing up, layaway.
I know, but this
they
is
charge
on
you layaway.
They don't, and that's
where
how
are my
they
layaway
you.
People at? Huh? Woo! Raise your hand if you were poor and had layaway.
Yes.
I will reveal myself as a poor woman. I grew up with layaway. We used to have to go pick out our toys in November, and they'd go in the little corner or whatever, and then my mom would go and pay the money every month. And then you'd get them at Christmas.
Well, that's the thing that's different now is that you get the thing first and then you pay. So you
Back
forgot.
Then they were like, we don't trust you.
Yeah, you don't trust.
That
you
keep
was
better, though, I think, for our brains. Yeah,
well, for the economy.
That's true. Sure now we're just like, oh,
so wait,
we'll
what happens if you don't pay?
It just is automatically taken out of your checking account.
No, they come and unleg you, I believe.
Yeah,
someone ripped the leggings off
you
at the dog park.
Exactly. If you don't have money, then that's when the interest comes. Like if it's an insufficient fund when they come for their, you know, whatever, then that's happened to me.
It's good to know that the spirit of layaway still exists on this Cyber Monday.
Absolutely.
Well, we also wanted to talk about COVID-19 with the panel.
I love that transition. Anyway, COVID?
Speaking of lettuce.
Speaking of layaway.
We got a hot new variant, Omicron.
Yes.
Christina and I were both singing the Greek alphabet back there because we both learned it in school. Apparently, you learned it with a really great song, though, and I was really jealous.
I learned it from my parents.
Well, you got
both
it by a song,
though. Yeah. Both of my parents are... in sororities and fraternities, and they're very active.
Oh,
which
wow.
ones are
Let's
you?
Hear.
Which ones
Let's
can I hear? Can you? I want to.
Can you guess by my?
Okay. Well, I want to say your mom was a Delta.
AKA.
AKA. Wow. AKA. Okay. Okay. Like Kamala Harris. So there's like black sororities and fraternities,
yes. uh-huh.
and there's like. Well, School Days is the best
yes.
show.
Best
I mean,
Spike
movie,
Lee movie.
Movie.
I did see School Days.
Yeah, and that's the best. Like, there's like the prissy
yeah.
black one, which
the
is
the Jigaboos and the Wannabes.
Yeah, and then
oh, wow.
who's a okay.
okay no.
Anyway,
right.
Kamala Harris is an AKA.
Podcast.
That's a different
so,
podcast. We're a mixed company.
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got
so
it.
If this were a different audience, we'd have a different conversation.
No, it's okay. I mean, we the three of us were all theater majors, so I don't think we know about any
yeah,
sororities
no.
or fraternities.
White or black, we don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything about that.
No. Yeah. We were not popular. I was not doing a keg stand at a fraternity.
Okay,
party,
but you guys were
so.
Still doing orgies because it's theater.
You're right.
So
no, not my theater. Program, unfortunately. It was a lot of virgins. A lot of virgins at my school. Anyway, guys, I just revealed a lot about layaway.
COVID.
And COVID. But let's go back to COVID. The
back
Omicron
to something
variant.
Exciting like COVID-19 and the new variant. I wanted to say one interesting thing that I read today on Twitter. So Dr. Ronny Jackson, you guys remember Ronny Jackson?
Of course.
Trump's doctor who gave him that real clean bill of health.
Never had a drink in his life, they say.
He's now a Republican congressman from Texas. And after he learned about the new variant, he tweeted, "Here comes the midterm election variant. They need a reason to push unsolicited nationwide mail-in ballots. Democrats will do anything to cheat during an election, but we're not going to let them." So to me, it's just insane to me that Republicans would think that more COVID is good for the sitting president, right? I mean, this variant is not going to make Joe Biden's approval rating go up.
Yo, 1,000,000%. It's crazy how like the Democrats are not doing so hot in general right now. And it's the fact that they're still piling on with like another Democrat scheme. It's like, come on, guys, you're winning. Just be cool about
yeah,
this.
Right.
Can't we all just stress as a group about this rather right. than you making it a bowl?
But Democrats don't know how to play offense.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And so, like, in this, you know, they're like, hey, we're actually trying to keep you alive, keep you safe. And Republicans are like, see, it's a conspiracy. They're trying to keep you alive. And Democrats are like, yeah, we don't have a response to that. So, I mean, that's part of the issue.
So the offense would be like, these guys are trying to kill you.
Hey, yeah. Guess what? Because look at their districts. It's Republicans who are, by and large, unvaccinated, and they're dying. Like, they're killing off their mm-hmm. population. Therefore, now we have voting rights rules to make sure.
I just think that doesn't work. That doesn't work politically. So with the Omicron thing coming in is just, like, the worst news. Even though, like, it seems like what I was reading today was, like, it's not so bad. It's, like, a chill variant.
It's kind of like CBD, right?
It's, like, a very CBD
like a Delta variant. 8, maybe.
It's, like, very light. It's just a light sickness.
This sounds great, actually.
Yeah, it's a dream. It's a couple
it's
days off work.
It's not sandals. It's still a fucking deadly disease.
Yes, no.
By the way.
Right.
No,
well,
it is,
you can think of it this way, Justin. When they say it's mild, they're like, you only lose your sense of taste. It's like, that's neurological.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That could be...
Yeah, forever.
A long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I think this is the issue. Democrats don't know how to take messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
like... They're trying to do the right thing,
yeah.
right? And so it's like, we actually don't know if this is going to be absolutely terrible. So it's not a grand scheme to vote by mail and win an election. But Joe Biden is a touch out of touch. And so we know historically Democrats will lose seats during a midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
That's historically what happens to whatever party is in power. So Republicans are just like capitalizing on it. And people are like, I'm still mad that I can't like be out and be footloose and fancy free. So Republicans are like, right, the Democrats want to take away your freedom.
Yeah.
I just have to say
and there we are.
That Republicans, every time they're fucking about to lose, wasn't there a caravan that we were all supposed to be scared about? And like a caravan of migrants.
That
happens every fucking midterm. Critical race theory suddenly was like, I mean, I know it's like psycho, but like that was the scary thing of like, whatever, I don't want my kids to know that they're white or whatever. Like, that was the big scary thing. And then now it's like, oh, but Democrats are the one. And it's just like, I think Republicans always do that. And then, yeah, it's like what you're saying. Democrats don't play offense because they're actually, like, doing policy.
Right.
And they're actually, like, what is a Republican policy that they've actually all gone for except for taking things away?
Right.
It's like,
well, I teach college students and I've never taught critical race theory. Like, I have loved.
Do you mean my 7-year-old isn't learning critical race theory?
Not learning critical race theory. What? Neither is your 21-year-old.
What?
And the thing is, most people in law school, unless they're taking one elective, maybe they're learning critical race theory.
But this
is such a niche conversation. You remember in 2004, when we're in the middle of a war and spending over, what, $1 million, $1 billion a day, everything was about gay marriage. All of a sudden, the gays are going to come and take your marriage away.
This is my question.
That's what they do.
The liberal side has all the writers and all the artists and all the comedians. Why the fuck can't we figure out the messaging? Because it's true. We lost Virginia.
We're busy. We can't focus on that shit.
We're busy being on podcasts.
Look at us. We're doing a podcast right now. We can't focus on messaging. I'm trying to get my message out.
I have to pay $80 every 2 weeks for leggings that make my vagina smell.
We're busy.
So...
But I think the critical race theory is such a great example.
Yeah.
All of these school boards all over the country. Listen, I go to the school board meetings. I go to the PTA meetings. Nobody's at the fucking PTA meetings. We're begging people to join the school boards at preschools and such. And all of a sudden, these people are showing up in droves screaming about something that doesn't exist in their elementary school, like critical race theory. And I feel like the Democrats don't do a good job of saying it's made up. We're not doing that.
But
we're
they should. But what they also don't do is like, hey, guess what? It's stupid. I'm not responding. Next. They don't do that. They're like, let me engage you.
Yeah.
Because I think also, let's keep it real, a lot of Democrats have relatives who are these crazies.
Yeah.
Who are and I'll say this, and I've said it before, and I stand by it. White people don't understand the capacity of white people.
Mm.
They fundamentally don't think that white people will go to the edge and over the edge.
Right.
Black folks know it. We've seen it. So a lot of white folks are just like, no, this is totally insane. But they wouldn't really take away, you know, books, education, fire teachers and principals.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, they will. And more.
They've done it. They're the ones that are doing it. The right is always, they're like always complaining about cancel culture. They're the ones that get things canceled. They're the ones that get books burned.
But how do we go on the offensive? How do we have simple messages that resonate? Hey, I don't want you to die. Like, should that be the message? Just 24 midterms, stick with us and you won't die. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, at that, I'm just sort of like, listen, is it natural selection? Because if you were this hard-headed, like, that's on you, fool. If 99% of the people in hospitals right now are people who are unvaccinated and you're taking horse tranquilizer because some random doctor told you.
Well, that might work on Omicron.
And what percentage of the unvaccinated people are Republican, too? I mean, it's like something like 70-something percent of Democrats are vaccinated and 40-50%
That's why as long as we hold the line, they're going to slowly die off.
Well, yeah, I mean, Christine, we never
get the fringe
left.
But
then they'll just make sure we can't vote.
We also like, can't forget
they're
the
doing
fringe
their
left.
Own thing.
But they're doing a great
job. Fringe,
the fringe left, it's a circle.
The yogis.
The yoga studios. The
I mean, that's
women.
Real. Right. That is real.
There's it a is, lot but of it is. It's the majority of the unvaccinated are people who vote Republican. And I'm just curious, Christina, do you think there's an actual long-term demographic shift that COVID-19 is going to cause with the, what is it, 800,000 people who have died?
Yeah, I do, but electorally, no. Mm. Because we know that right after the 2020 elections, Republicans got to work and looked at all those states that Joe Biden won and all those counties that he won. And you can look at the legislation and you can look at judges, right? I mean, the longstanding two things from the Trump administration that will be with us for generations to come. It's the number of incompetent judges that he put on all various levels.
Kyle Rittenhouse
across the country.
Yeah. Thanks to Mitch.
And just calling facts into question. And so just like having people who were like, my parents used to be really thoughtful people and now they're just total whack jobs. So like, and they don't believe reality and truth. So those are, I think, the two things.
I will add, can I add one more to that? I think apparel is another big Trump thing. The hats. I was on a Polar Express children's ride, I guess, this over Thanksgiving. We went on a train.
With your kids.
With my kids, I wasn't just hanging around. Thank you.
They're like,
creepy Justin.
It's like, I just love Tom Hanks' poorly animated films.
Uncanny Valley.
Exactly. But there's a guy on that train wearing a Let's Go Brandon sweatshirt.
That's not even like fun. Like, it's not even a bird.
There are no comedians on their side, right, and yet it works.
The Let's Go Brandon thing, I think, is so crazy.
If you don't know, Let's Go Brandon is code for fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right?
And to wear that on a child's ride as an adult man, I was like, what are you doing with your life in general? Also, it's just the Trump apparel thing and being upstate, seeing all the flags still in the yards and everything, that identifier has become such a thing.
I do think that, you know, my personal opinion is that, like, as white people stop being, like, the majority in this country and, like, the center, there's a little bit now of media and stuff, like, where it's like, oh, like, let's have this show be about a black woman or this or that. And, like, the grip is loosening. Like, white people are not dying out, but, like...
Yeah. Dying of COVID. Dying.
But, like, you know, things are getting more mixed, multicultural. This country's going in that direction. And there is this, like wanting to not lose. And then there are these people who identify... I personally feel like all the apparel wearing is, like, attention. Or it's, yeah, like, I still want to be the outliner. We're still, like... It's like the not loosening the grip of power and whatever, and like they will gerrymander and do everything to not lose this power instead of figuring out a way to like work for this multiracial, multicultural coalition that's like the future of this country. Instead of that, they'll like hold on to the power. And then also, it's like these people, a lot of people, like their whole thing was being Republican. That was like their cool thing that they did. And then as the Republicans got like more and more loopy and like stopped respecting facts, it stopped being about whatever state rights and like not taxing and stuff. And it started being about like eating horse paste and like all this Pizzagate, all this crazy shit.
It takes up a lot more time, I think.
Yeah.
Being a full-on Trump head is like, oh, fuck, I got to go.
If they hadn't
search out
cast
this paste.
Their lot with full white supremacy, they could clean up with black immigrants
and Latino,
Latinx, Asian
and
Americans.
They're still doing it, and Asian.
Like, you don't understand. If they would just chill on the white supremacy and just go back to like, hey, we're kind of conservative on some social and economic values, they would do. I wrote a whole book about it.
It's working like, enough. It's working enough.
And then there's still a lot of people that are ignoring it and still voting.
True.
But they would really clean up.
Totally clean up. This country is relatively conservative and always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, the gerrymandering and making sure that we take away people's voting rights is like the extra insurance. Just to make sure, as, you know, because that whole like 2040, 2050 when whites are the minority, it's like we can still have an apartheid nation, settle down. But we do know that part of making sure that you have the grip is to make sure you control state houses and you gerrymander it such that you can win elections. Like, look at the post-census and how we're allocating seats now.
I mean,
Trump won like 53% of a state, but they'll have Republicans will now have
80%.
Like 80% of the seats.
But the
the
scariest thing
years.
Is like to scoop all of the things we're talking about is the fear works, and the GOP has that, and it's working across any sort of demographic you could ever talk
what's
about.
What's crazy to me is like we'd see this right that. White people don't want to give up power, right? But what is the power getting them?
Nothing.
Nothing.
White
what are these? But what do these white people have? They don't have health insurance.
Yeah,
they don't
exactly.
have jobs that pay them anything.
Exactly.
They can't even go on. Like,
hey, listen, Trump was like, "Let's bring coal back," and I'm like, "Let's bring 1820 back."
Yeah,
I mean, no.
You know, it's just like they're hearkening back to this age in the 70s. You know, I'm from Iowa originally, and my grandparents worked in factories, and they made plenty of fine working class living. Where they could take their kids on a trip for once a year or whatever. Well, that's not coming back. That's
Never.
Also the time where people owned one pair of jeans
for
the whole fucking year.
Yeah.
Like, our society is not going back to that, no matter what. We're not willing to give up anything. We're not willing to give up our cheap Old Navy leggings, not $300 leggings. Melanie.
Okay, there were multiple leggings.
This is a difference
and these
here.
Are all made from recycled material.
Like
but we're not willing to go back to those simpler times. You know, there are a lot of like things that we have in the modern age that we're not willing to go back to. And inflation's interesting to me because it's a shift that maybe needs to happen. I know it's painful. I don't want it to happen, but maybe we do need to buy less. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought things.
Yo, put
today
this
too.
In the Democratic platform.
Anyway, to like piggyback off like what messaging could actually be effective from the left is that like there are things that we can capitalize on fear because like instead of telling people like, oh, your white kids are like gonna be whatever. He's like, your kids are not gonna be able to go to prom because it's gonna be too hot outside, and they can't stand outside. They can't play football because it's gonna be too hot outside because of global warming. You're gonna never be able to own a house. You're not gonna be able to sell your house. Like there are actual problems.
You're gonna go bankrupt if you get cancer.
You're gonna go bankrupt if you get cancer.
We live in this country that we're trying to keep the system where our son broke his wrist 2 weeks ago and we hadn't met our deductible yet. And his hospital bill was like, you know, $550.
For one x-ray.
Yeah. That's not going to break our bank or whatever. We have a great health insurance plan, thanks to my union.
Exactly. That's a big flex.
Shout out to Screen Actors Guild. But no, I mean, you know, for us, like, okay, we could, you know, whatever. It was one expense and a very minor thing. But, I mean, that's so much money for most people.
Thank you. The Democrats paid for this picture.
Oh, yeah, there's another picture here coming. When I was a kid, $500 would have thrown us into a tailspin, you know?
I mean, I was in graduate school making $15,000 in New York. Like, I was eating potato chips and hot sauce for dinner. Like,
holy shit.
That actually sounds delicious right now. Can we get some potato chips and hot sauce?
But, I mean, I think we have to remember that there are so many people who have zero margin of error when it comes. And it always reminds me of my favorite president, LBJ, where he said, you know, your question was sort of, how is it that these Republicans keep, you know, doubling down and, like, their lives are not great under these Republican policies. And he essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, if you can convince the poorest white man that he's better than the Negro, then you can pick his pockets all day long.
Could we gerrymander that picture over here?
Yes, great, do it.
So, Christina, you brought up voting rights. And I wanted to talk about some local issues tonight because Christina has an excellent local podcast, FAQ NYC. We had these ballot proposals. First of all, who here voted? Who voted in the election? Pretty much everybody here. That's amazing. Not like this is not a representative group of New Yorkers here because almost everyone voted in the off-year election. I guess it was a mayoral election, but
and I don't like to call them off years because people think that they can take off.
You shouldn't take it off. You should never take it off. But this is
why. I voted for Andrew Yang.
This is why.
Please don't. I will have a nosebleed and a serious heart attack
the
on this
forward
stage.
Party?
I despise that man with a hot, raging passion.
The forward party?
And if you want me
I'm
to go
sorry.
Insane, we can start talking about
him.
He lives
not
in our neighborhood.
He's 2 weeks from launching a cryptocurrency, so let's just ride that out.
So on the back of the ballot, where we all did not rank Andrew Yang, at least not highly, there were these ballot proposals, and that just, like, I had to, like, work to find out the info in the ballot proposals, which is not atypical, but on like the day I was going to early vote, I was texting my other like, you know, super votey friends, like the ones that I know who are gonna.
And now you all can text me.
Yeah.
And I'll break everything.
Oh, we will.
But I was texting with like my friends Lance and Katie in Brooklyn, who I know like are very active in politics, as are Cody and I, and we were all like, I think it's yes and all. You guys do it yes and all. Yeah, these seem good. And like I'm looking, like, what's the New York Times say? What are editorial boards saying? And like there was no like major consensus. It was just like, yeah, these are all yeses.
I didn't know there were ballot initiatives until like our city councilman elect had sent us an email.
But even the email that he sent didn't say vote yes. It was just like there was a lot of education. Like here's what they are, but no one in this city was saying
you
got
to
vote
NYC.
You got to vote and you
got
to vote yes.
We got our information,
but upstate, and by upstate I mean outside of the five boroughs, mm-hmm. including
there were
Long Island.
Everywhere
there was this very well funded GOP outside. I'm sure
no one 1-3-4
voting no, and they all voted no. And then like the results for the all of them, like 11-13% of people didn't vote. They didn't turn it over and vote. And then it was like 50-35.
So
and how are the Democrats so asleep at the wheel that we let all of the, and
do you
and
want
by
to
the
explain
way,
what they were?
Yeah,
quickly?
What the one was like clean water is good, and that passed narrowly, but that one passed.
Right. That's good.
The others were like same day voter registration was one of them.
And that did not pass.
No excuse
That's
absentee
terrible.
Voting.
That did not pass.
And then the other was dealt with gerrymandering, including getting rid of prison gerrymandering, I believe.
And that's where the rubber hit the road. That was number one. And so that proposal, though...
Explain what prison gerrymandering is.
Was a kitchen sink proposal. So it's tons of things. But the sticking point in that one was, do we count citizens who are incarcerated upstate, do we count them actually from the district from whence they were...
Where they're from.
Right.
Because we know downstate Black and Latinx men and women actually support upstate communities because they're counted in the prison population. So even though they don't use the schools or the roads or any of the goods and services, they're counted in that population. Mm-hmm. And so money is allocated based on, say, 40,000 people as opposed to 20,000.
And right? Congressional representatives are allocated.
And we know that in 1911, we locked in 435 members of the House. So depending on how we fill out the census, and we know states like New York, we are undercounted because so many people, especially in a Trump administration, were afraid to fill out the census. Mm-hmm. The census is one of the few things that's in the Constitution. Our Constitution's pretty bare bones if you've ever read it. But this is the one thing where it says we will take account, we will take stock of the population. It doesn't say for any political purposes, but we know that the Trump administration wanted to make it a sort of a more political,
especially with the document, like asking if people are documented.
Exactly. So why would you, especially if you're undocumented, but what if you are an immigrant who possibly has undocumented family members or friends?
Yeah.
You wouldn't fill out the census because you're inviting the government into your home. Why would you do that, right?
Well,
and so there's this danger. So we know that Queens is highly underrepresented. Mm-hmm. There's so many parts of New York that are underrepresented. But part of that ballot initiative, number one, was essentially saying, we'll count the incarcerated citizens who are upstate. We'll actually count them from the downstate communities from whence they came. Obviously, that's not going to go well for the upstate communities that rely on Black and Latinx bodies for all of their money.
Yeah. Like, also, there's just no people up there. Yeah. There's no one up there
it's
in general.
Yogurt and prisons. That's all New York's got.
But that's where I'm from. I know that people.
We spent a weekend in Beacon, and it was beautiful.
I don't know if that's a community we're talking about.
Beacon is barely upstate.
And then I went to Kingston, and it was also sweet.
The Beacon prison is lovely.
Lots of antiquing. That's what I did. Did I mention that I'm white earlier?
Well, you did know how much almond milk cost at Whole Foods, so yes.
You did.
I did. Okay, Millie, you were talking about making your own pesto.
I was saying making your own pesto is not worth it, and probably making your own almond milk is not worth it either. Because
join us. Become a white woman. You can do it.
Listen. but I was going to say that they also do that. There is also, not in New York specifically, but I just remember this with a lot of colleges. Like, they will do, like, college towns, but they don't want them to vote because then it would go left, but then they want to count them in censuses to get all the money. So it's like, it's so fucked up.
It feels like we need, like, a federal law to get rid of gerrymandering in any way.
Yes. Created by like a historical politician.
Interesting.
Who recently passed.
Oh, yeah, like a voting rights act.
That would be interesting. Prisoners can't vote, right? I mean, unlike the colleges, but like they're being counted
the state,
and they can't vote.
So every law is a little different. And so obviously we know, and I don't call them prisoners because they just happen to be individuals who
incarcerated individuals.
But we know that for some states, once you have paid your debt to society, you actually get your franchise back.
Right.
There are other states where you lose it forever.
But I mean, while they're upstate next to the yogurt,
they're making hand sanitizer that Cuomo sold.
That's right. The yogurt. There's not that much yogurt upstate. Let me just be clear.
Chobani is from upstate.
Chobani, that's your one town. I'm from upstate New York. There's no yogurt north of fucking Syracuse.
Okay.
Not even in the stores.
Syracuse is very
You're
far
from
north.
They
Canada,
tolerate
Justin.
Sour cream, and that's
Sounds
it. As
like
far
okay,
as goofy dairy.
Of all the things we said, you wanted to debunk the yogurt.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying there's a lot of hype about. I just don't want to give a bad impression, a weird impression about upstate New York as some sort of yogurt
place. But what
place.
Else do they have?
Upstate New York?
Fracking, yogurt, prisons, and apples.
The town where I'm from mines talc, which is in chalk, and Maalox. So that's what we do. It's sort of yogurt-esque in a way.
It is interesting that people always think like, oh, New York, you liberals. And you go outside of Manhattan or outside of New York City and it's just like,
Alabama.
We make talc. I'm from the south of the north. It's red state. There were upstate, being up there over COVID in the summer, there were signs that were fuck Cuomo out of guns. Everyone is making homemade, horrifying signs
but you know what?
About murdering.
Go off, fuck Cuomo.
Yeah, I mean,
we can all rally behind that now.
That was before. That was before.
Not all are united, but people also did not like Cuomo.
But I was in Narrowsburg this summer.
Yeah,
right. See, not that far away.
That's pretty close.
And it's like F Biden signs everywhere.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I'm like, every state is a red state.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
We just With have blue cities. Cities.
Yeah. Yep.
This is why Black folks only live in certain parts of the country.
Well,
because it's like, when you start leaving the little blue city, you are basically in all things Alabama. And as Malcolm X said, anything south of the Canadian border is the U.S. South. So, like, behave accordingly, because there are parts of New York State that I would never go to.
Yeah.
There are parts of Brooklyn I would never go to at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, let alone Queens, Rockaway, or Staten Island, or parts of the Upper East Side, and parts of the Bronx. So we keep saying that we're this, like, blue cities, but also we're very different shades of blue as well.
Yeah.
So we have to, you know, we're always scratching our heads, like, how did these things pass? It's like, they passed because there are a lot of folks in New York City and New York State that did not want to.
I honestly get so frustrated because I'm from real America. I'm from
Iowa and Ohio.
Like two real American states. But I always get frustrated that we always have to pander and be like, you don't know what it's like where we're from. Well, you should have to fucking live in a city. You should have to live in a city surrounded by a million different people that are different religions, different backgrounds, different economic, like everything is different. You should have to exist in a city where you are you're sending your kids to school with somebody who owns a fucking high-rise building and someone who lives in Section 8 housing and someone who's brown and someone who's, you know, black and someone who's white and someone who's from a foreign country and, like, just the amount of all types of diversity, economic diversity, all of it that we have to interact with every day. You realize when you're interacting with people of different everything that you have to be tolerant and accepting.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating to me that it's always the reverse, that we have to be tolerant and respectful of people who get to live in bubbles.
Who get to mine yogurt all day.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we're the ones that say that we're living in bubbles. And we have individual bubbles. We do have that.
But I think that's why suburbs were created, one.
Yeah.
That's why people live in rural communities. But if we're really being honest, in a lot of cities, people live in bubbles.
They do. Like, of course. There's,
New York is a Friends episode. And when I would hang out with a white friend of mine from middle school, I would go to bars and places with her. And I'm like, where are the Negroes? I have not seen a single person of color. We're in New York City. We both live in New York City.
Right.
But the places where she would go and I would hang out with her, and I was like, I haven't seen a single person of color. So, like, there are parts of New York City, Manhattan, Brooklyn, all five boroughs, where you actually can live in your bubble.
Yeah. And I know
that. We know, especially with schools, New York's the most segregated state of all 50. So, like, and white parents work really, really, really hard to make sure
it's
their
like
kids
by design,
don't go to school with kids of color.
But I also will say that something that angers me, or, like, just off your point, is that, like, it's crazy to me that we're painted as, like, oh, out of touch, not real America. It's like a single mom that lives in the Bronx that makes, like, $30,000 or $20,000 a year is, like, seen painted with East Coast elite. But then somebody who, like, owns a house with a Ford F-150 that's like $60,000.
Kevin McAllister is real America.
Yeah, that's real America. But like somebody who works like three fucking jobs in that lives in the Bronx isn't like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. And I think, and I 100% agree with you in terms of people, obviously New York City schools, I'm not touting them as the most amazing things in the world. But I think that at least in our day-to-day lives, we see, and every community is different in New York, but the fact that like, at least I'm talking about my specific community and where I live. Like, how is that not real America? You should have to come and live and interact with all these people, and then you'd feel
it's
differently.
It's like a Mormon walkabout. Like, every American has to do, like, the little live with other people.
I feel
people
like
that
every American should work 1 year in the service industry.
I think that's true. I agree.
Thank you.
Service industry.
Shouts to
service industry. Like, in, like, South Korea,
they should all be SPGs.
Well, yes.
You know, you're throwing that term around again. Like, we all know what
worked I worked at TGI Fridays, and I was an SPG, which was a smiling people greeter, a.k.a. a hostess.
But sorry, which Friends episode was that when you were doing that?
No, no. But here's the thing. Every night, the management, which that was a whole thing about gender and, you know, managers and all this other stuff that I learned. But, like, every night, it's like, we can't lose them to Chili's. That was like, you'd walk
can't
in the
lose
door.
Them to Chili's.
Can't lose them to Chili's.
The original divide in this country, I think.
A simpler time. Where all we worried about was the TGI Friday Chili's divide.
Right, that was
it. Chili's, the tables are always wet.
Like, well, Millie, always, like, interesting. Wait, this is a stereotype I haven't heard.
It's like every time you go to Chili's, you sit down and they're like, let me clean the table for you. And they get the wettest rag from the thing and they just like swipe it on there. And then it's just the moist the whole time you're there. They don't dry, you know? And
Chili's,
it's like,
your tables are too wet.
The tables are too wet.
You know, I don't think I've ever been to a
Chili's. Put it in the Democrat platform.
They're like,
they're
pushing the corn pieces around.
I think psychologically, I'm like stuck on, I can't go to a Chili's.
Wow.
Because I worked for TGI Fridays.
You're
That's
like,
some serious brainwashing.
Well, listen. Yeah,
but you're loyal.
You're still mad about it. It's been like 25 years.
You've risen to this place in your life, and you're still like, well, I'm not going to go to a Chili's.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe
well,
a Chili's
I
mean,
too. Yeah, go to a Chili's too in an airport.
The horse has left the barn. I'm not going to Chili's.
All right,
never say never.
We want to pivot and talk about our pet issue in this podcast, which is transportation.
yes.
Nice. And Christina, I noticed that you were hosting a transportation alternatives forum, I think, this
tomorrow
week.
For
yeah,
this,
for city council.
I was a former board member of the Riders Alliance.
Amazing.
I think about transportation.
Well, Cody and I biked here today, and there were tons of cars parked in the bike lanes, per normal.
Let me ask you, how serious, how fucked up does America have to get before you're like, you know what, I'm going to give transportation a rest?
Never.
Justin's been on this show a few times. He's like, you're still talking about
like,
it?
No,
you know what? I'm on it. I'm there.
I know you're on. I saw your Twitter.
I think Millie's... I think Millie's into transportation.
Oh, yeah, I said, Cody, I think Millie might be anti-car, so
I'm a numb hot. Well,
you're a numb tot?
I'm a numb tot.
Explain what that is.
That is, I don't know if it's millennials, but it's a Facebook group of young people in America that are obsessed with transportation and like are constantly like sharing articles about bullet trains and all that stuff.
It's like new urbanists, millennials.
New urbanists, millennials.
Charlie's too old for that, but that's definitely
no. It's so good.
I'm a young Gen X.
You should get a Facebook page.
Then you have to answer for Kirsten Sinema. No, I'm kidding. But also, yeah, I have stuff to say.
So you're hosting this forum tomorrow with Transportation Alternatives. Eric Adams, our new mayor, who we haven't talked about yet, and we should. he says he's going to ride a bike to work, which you know Eric was not at the top of my list. But I love that. I love that he's a vegan who's going to ride a bike to work, and I'm very excited about that.
That feels
from
like
Jersey or
we're
going
to get a bike lane on the George Washington Bridge, so he can bike to work.
He's going
to
bail on that instantly. He will do that.
Well, I mean, let's also be clear. Eric Adams came on my podcast and said that he wouldn't have a police detail because the city would be so safe. He would carry his own gun and wouldn't need a police detail.
Oh, yeah, when he said he's going to carry his own gun, get the fuck out of here.
Well, he's known to carry at least
of course,
three.
But I'm just like,
but
go,
I then
go home.
Asked him if he was carrying a gun, and he laughed. And I said,
On Zoom?
No, this was in person. Yeah. pre-COVID. So I said, no, it's a legit question. Are you carrying a gun right now? And he said, no.
Oh, he's waiting in case you drew a gun at that moment?
Well, no, because this was after the Pittsburgh massacre, and I felt very uncomfortable that he said that we should carry guns to our religious
station. Was that one?
So when he was asked about it later on, he said he was just joking and that he wouldn't carry a gun and he would possibly think about having a police detail.
Okay.
So I think that we're in for an interesting January 1st is when he gets sworn in. I think we're in for an interesting first few months because I'm not sold on the biking from Gracie Mansion to City Hall.
You think he's going to live in Gracie Mansion, by the way? I guess he doesn't really have a house.
He doesn't have a house, right?
Well, he's got one in Jersey.
He's been living in his girlfriend.
That place in Brooklyn that he was supposedly living in that had a bed in the middle of the room.
That's a man's house.
And a fridge with nothing vegan in it.
You lost me with sneakers next to the pillow.
Yeah. That's a guy's house. Listen, as someone who's hooked up with a lot of guys in this city, that's a man's house.
But he's vegan, and it was like it wasn't a vegan refrigerator.
No. Yo, that was like watching someone walk into a room they've never been and be like, yeah, this is the
room waiter.
The food is here. This is where I relax. In this floor area here?
Right.
So,
I will say this. I want to withhold judgment just yet because there are a few things that I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to see who your police commissioner is because if de Blasio had told me that he was going to hire the architect of Stop and Frisk after campaigning against, stopping Stop and Frisk and then hire Bill Bratton, he wouldn't have gotten my vote, right?
That was insane that it was his first thing was to hire Bill Bratton.
There we go. So I want to know who the police commissioner
The PBA
and
muscles
the
everybody.
Yeah, and they just endorsed Kathy Hochul, so we'll get to that in a second.
Oh,
I want to know who the school chancellor is. I want to know who the head of the Department of Environmental Protection is. And then, obviously, your transportation secretary, like whoever the transportation commissioner is, I want to know that.
The most important issue.
When do we find those things out?
After January.
Aren't we supposed to know those now?
No. We're in the transition period. He's looking at things. And, I mean, the beautiful thing about New York is that Inauguration Day is January 1st. Like, and I love that. I think that that's, like, the greatest thing about this city.
Let's get it going.
Why?
Well, because
everyone's hungover. Let's see this.
And I'm at City.
Ride your bike with your gun like a little cowboy to work, and we'll see it.
Like, you know how that morning of New Year's Day, everybody's a little hungover, a little, you know,
kicking people out your house. And yeah. Like, how did this happen?
The get weather out of here, always kids. Feels weird, whether it's snowing or not snowing. The weather feels different. Mm-hmm. It just the day has a different weight to it. When it's Inauguration Day, it's a new beginning. So it's a new beginning of the year. It's also a new beginning for the city. And there's a certain level of promise that it holds.
I want to bottle this up because I have never felt this.
Yeah.
And I want to drink it to fix my hangover, the metal hammer coming down on my life that is New Year's Day.
You know, it'll never be with milk because milk is too expensive. but I will say that you're better than me. I am not waiting for any of that. And I am actively starting a bullying campaign against Eric Adams, just like we did with de Blasio, just like we did with Cuomo. He did say that he's going to accept his first three paychecks in Bitcoin. And that's already, I don't need to wait. We know that he's going to be a hot mess.
I will say that's suspect.
I'm already recruiting for bullying people on Twitter. Kathy Hochul got it like 2 weeks ago or a week ago when she was like, we need everyone back in offices. And I bet you she regrets tweeting that because she got harassed. So if you're interested in harassing Eric Adams, I am going to do it. And we'll see if he...
You're organizing a bullying campaign for Eric Adams?
Absolutely.
I love the use of bullying.
Is it called Be Best?
Be Best.
Yeah.
Be Best, Eric Adams, Be Best.
You know, my favorite Melania tweet, though, was when she posted a picture of a dolphin and tweeted, I wonder what she's thinking. There were some gems.
I bet she was legit wondering.
Oh,
she was like,
absolutely.
Is she doing how to leave her husband? Yeah.
I also am anti-car. You know, I love Revel, which is the electric scooter. I don't bike.
I haven't been on one yet. You've been on a
Revel? Oh, I do them all the time. Yeah. I've ridden 800 miles on a Revel.
Wow.
And I got so gassed up on...
Oh, my God.
I know.
Where have you been going?
No, I ride them on the street. I got so, like, gassed up on my ability that I took a motorcycle tour in Colombia through the... Because I'm like, oh, I ride Revel in New York City. I can do everything.
And Revel's an electric moped, for those who don't
That's
know.
That's automatic, yeah. And the motorcycles are not. And I learned my lesson.
Very, quite different.
Very different, actually. But I could handle it well because I did. But I will also say another thing that had me anti-car. I did take a job at one of the worst places in the world to work at. I'm not going to say the name.
TGI Fridays?
Say it.
I'm not going to say the name because they have me...
It's a TV job
that's based out of Stanford, Connecticut, and I had to drive every day
It wasn't sports entertainment related, was it?
I had to drive my
car.
I had sold my car online recently, and it was, I think it's what everyone thinks dating apps are. It's way worse than being on a dating app. Is selling your car on Craigslist because it is unfiltered, crazy men who are not reading the bio at all, offering half of what you fucking put up for the thing, saying all kinds of wild shit. I almost fought three people. Never again. Cars are terrible.
Well, you don't have to stay in a relationship with your car purchaser. You should really end that.
But his dad did try to marry me and my friend.
Hey, okay. P.S., I just learned that rats eat the wires of cars that are parked on
the street. Yeah, if it's too long.
My friend just got their car ruined by it.
That's why you got to start your car. You got to start your car.
It was the flood.
They said it doesn't matter. They just get into the engine.
No, you
got to
move your car every few days. Yeah.
Keep the pizza out of your car.
I've never owned a car in my whole life.
Good
That's one
you.
Of those facts and those like, what's a weird fact about you? I'd be like, she's never owned a car.
Wow. So
because
like,
I was poor and then I moved to a city.
My first car was a 1981 diesel Mercedes with
222,000
miles.
Diesel?
Ooh.
Diesel? You owned a diesel car?
That's fucked up.
I'm killing
That's
all
poison.
The deer.
Yeah.
200.
This
wow,
was in the 90s. It was fine.
So there's a thing called a gold star gay where they've never had sex with a... So you're a gold star... Something. If you've never owned a car,
I think. That's true, yeah.
We'll figure out a term for that later.
Let me say, I do own a car and I drive a car, and so I guess I'm
piece
the
piece of
I'm
shit.
The
Are you ready to
Everyone's starting to check off piece of shit.
Yeah.
Piece
of shit. I don't know, is that, what's so
well,
bad about
I had a
it?
What's so, oh my God.
Okay, well.
But do you, so you live in Brooklyn. Do you drive your car into Manhattan?
No, never.
Okay,
would
great.
Never. What
then,
a nightmare.
You're not, then great. You're not bothering me that much.
I drive my children to their school, which is like 10 blocks away.
Oh, so why are you doing that?
Terrible.
What?
No,
why are you doing that?
No, that's bad. No.
It's bad for the environment. It's congestion.
No.
It's
not congestion where I live, and okay. then we drive the car outside of the city to go
right.
to places.
It's your escape vehicle. I
you
that.
Use
I
a car, though?
Very, very rarely.
Okay.
I very, think
very
rarely.
Very rarely. We never take
I mean,
cabs.
In our normal COVID, we had rental cars during COVID to uh-huh. escape. But
no, maybe not the three, same.
But
not
Justin,
the same.
No
the
one.
Jig is up on nope. Mr. Transportation, I think.
A no. Jig.
No one is saying that no car ever. We're saying let's have congestion pricing. Let's pay $13 to get into Manhattan. We're saying use cars less. Let's say consider getting a cargo bike and biking your daughter's 10 blocks. Or maybe walking.
A cargo bike. I'll definitely put my two daughters on a bicycle and drive them
You
through
want a
insane.
Picture of Charlie yeah. taking our two
Literally
sons
do it almost every day.
Truly
over.
Terrifying. I took a helicopter here.
Oh, wait, Justin. Why is it terrifying? Do you know why it's terrifying for you to bike your two
all
kids to school? Because all the people
cars.
Like you and fucking cars. That's
you know
why.
What? You know what?
Let me know when there's no cars, and then
so,
I'll
wait,
put my
Charlie,
kids in the bike.
As a biker, because I revel, I feel like there's a serious double parking problem in this
oh,
city.
Oh, of course.
Everyone's fucking constantly double yeah. parking.
Sometimes, and bike lanes.
But you know what it
and
is?
Bike
it's, a,
lanes.
It's a mentality, because you go to a place like Berlin, where if you see a car in a bike lane, all the bikers like get and they like start kicking the car.
Smash the car!
Like,
and I'll tell you what,
I love it.
I'm here for that.
Right?
Let's because if we turn the corner, let's do it. But we can't.
But we don't have the ethos.
But we don't.
But we
can't.
Can.
We don't turn the corner because we don't turn the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to build the infrastructure. There's been a real bike boom. I mean, you biking up Sixth Avenue lately. It's insane.
Well, and so this is the thing with Eric Adams, who's a wild card. Where
he will go until I bully him.
No, I mean he's a wild card.
Until
in the sense
I bully him,
Millie's I think
got
that there are
going to
be a lot of things where we're like, "What in the world?" But then other things, like he might just be like, "You know what? No cars ever in Manhattan ever again tomorrow."
He might do that.
I mean, he's that type of cat where we don't know. So, like, I think that there's room. The reason why, I love a boycott and a bully, but the reason why I'm not writing him off just yet is because I think that there's a lot of room for people to get a lot of things that they want.
Look,
I'm agree
saying
with you.
We got to just bully him into what we want.
I agree with you. Like,
but I don't
bullying
think he's
is good.
He's cop energy.
He has big cop energy. But I agree with you that he might just totally pop and be like, "Oh, you're doing all this shit?"
Right.
He's like the opposite of de Blasio, who is like, "I'm sort of not going to do anything.
I'm going to pretend
to do everything, but do actually nothing." I think Eric Adams has the opposite energy, not that I'm a supporter of him, where he's like, he may be awful, but he also may be great.
I think de Blasio's problem was that his big thing was pre-K, and he did it in the first 2 weeks, and yeah. then was like, oh, yeah. now what?
He had senioritis
anyway.
2 months yeah. after he got
right.
the
That's
job.
That's so funny. That's
never
so true.
But
his
other
first
big thing,
thing.
Yeah. His other big thing was getting rid of the carriage horses, which he failed at.
Never did.
But now he's scrambling in the 11th hour. He's trying to get it done.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
And,
why
and
do
I'm
we
being
still have
fair.
Those? They smell.
If
they
shot
all over our neighborhood. We live right next to the stables.
But
guys.
More transportation.
Let's be clear. Universal pre-K and 3-K has kept so many families in this
huge.
City.
It is
like
huge.
Middle
As
class
parents
families,
of a three-year-old,
lower
yeah,
middle class,
it's huge.
Upper middle class families, white, black, you name it. But after that, so that's,
yeah,
I think
exactly.
de Blasio in four parts. That's first term, first half. That's a huge win. A huge win. First term, second half. Your ass is trying to stay out of prison, and you got a whole bunch of like legal drama that you get past. They didn't say you were innocent. They just said, we don't have enough to put you in prison. So
Holy
we leave
shit.
That alone.
This picture is actually from de Blasio.
Oh, my
so
God.
It's fucked up. I feel fucked up about us talking about this.
Thank you, Warren Willem, because that's your real name before you changed it to Bill de Blasio to sound more ethnic.
Wow.
So that's what you did to sound more ethnic so you could run for office.
Oh.
So Warren Willem
I mean,
bought this.
Just a Warren Willem.
So then... Second term, first half, you're in Iowa and New Hampshire
running for president
and losing to a dude from South Bend, Indiana, who's in charge of 36 buses. Then COVID hits, and here we are, and he's like, well, the city didn't fall off a cliff, so I'm not that bad.
But, guys, we're all going to vote for him for governor.
Anyway, I have a question. No, I
just
really
kidding,
am
just kidding. Yes,
actually
please,
genuinely
please.
Interested. So you said Universal Pre-K kept... parents, and I know it did, but what is other legislation that could keep families in New York? Because People housing. Say that housing, right? Real estate. Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, though, de Blasio is so in the pocket of the real estate industry.
Well,
it didn't necessarily trickle down to regular people to stay. This is sort
the
of
the biggest problem with families is space. There are first of all, there's barely any 3-bedroom apartments in the city. Like, it's a really like low amount of 3-bedroom apartments, which. If you're a family, like, you can't live in a 1-bedroom apartment with 2 kids. Like, even
and then
if you
you're
have...
moving to brownstone territory, which is like, so then I hope you have 3 million just.
Yeah, exactly. So housing, I think, is the number one thing. Like, how do we give people space they actually need to live? Even a 2-bedroom, you know, for most people is out of reach.
But how we calculate affordable housing is also highly problematic because 100%. We're using the wrong metric. So it's like, you know, or we give these real estate agents these deals, Jay-Z and his god-awful Barclays nonsense. So like the apartments that are attached to Barclays, you know, start at $3,000. And that's technically affordable housing because of the rubric that they use.
Yeah,
so like
there's middle income and
$3,000.
Right,
$3,000.
Like, yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah. But
well,
people,
all of those
are
places
all
got like 5-6 months free during COVID. And that's how Millie lived alone for the first time ever
Hell
in New York City.
Is. Coming around.
Legging.
Hey, hey.
That's,
all right,
that's
guys.
Legging budge.
We're getting towards the end of the show. I'm going to ask some lightning round questions where we'll try to give relatively quick answers. Okay. So Councilmember-elect and friend of the show, Eric Botcher, wants to get trash off our sidewalks and into curbside containers. How would you solve New York City's trash mountain problem? Anybody have an opinion?
Alleys. We need more alleys.
Have alleys?
We got to tear down
That's
buildings.
That's
going to
be difficult.
Build.
No, I feel like we need more alleys. I don't know. You didn't say how, if it's possible. You asked what I would do.
Bringing it back to Home Alone, there was a scene where in Home Alone, New York, Lost in New York.
There's a lot of alleys in
there. There
movies.
Was a bunch of alleys. Charlie goes, this isn't fucking New York.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think also, though, in a lot of communities, the trash cans are metal, and people steal the trash cans and sell the metal for scrap because they actually need the metal. So making sure we have trash cans in areas that cannot be ripped up and sold, right? But communities can still put their trash in things and empty them in a reasonable fashion because a lot of times people don't have enough trash cans, so then you just have people who are creating their own little trash heaps, and then we have vermin and all the other things.
Yeah, but that's also literally the way you're supposed to do it is just make a mountain of bags, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, which is insane. It's right. You know, it's a rat city. Should the council speaker race be ranked choice voting? Mostly a question for you, maybe Christina. Like, yeah. So they were elected by.
I was like, oh.
They were elected by ranked choice voting, yes. And now they're going to elect a speaker. Should they do ranked choice voting for that vote?
We don't vote for
we
speaker,
don't
by
vote
the
for
way, guys. Just
the
so
speaker,
you know.
The council people.
Yeah.
City council, and it's 51 city council members, and they choose their speaker amongst themselves. So even though we have these forums, and I moderate a lot of these forums. We are not involved in that process at all. We used to have 3 Republican city council members. Now we have 5, so that's going to change the calculus a little bit.
Why?
It'll be interesting to see. It'll
Sorry,
be
lightning round.
No, because,
like, why?
Because all 51 vote for who the speaker will be. Before it was like 3 people, so it was like, hey, girl, this is what
Get
we're doing.
Out of here.
Who cares about your 3 votes? 5 is actually a legit number.
10%.
We'll see if Eric Adams puts his thumb on the scale aggressively or just behind the scenes to try and help and choose the next speaker, right? We don't have any Latinx leaders across citywide or statewide at all. So that could mean something for some people. We don't have any female leaders in citywide. So the mayor,
but
the
what
public
if a woman gets her period and she can't like fully make a decision? So
crazy.
It's a problem. Well,
I mean,
it's
like
a problem.
I said it.
We're all thinking it. Okay, next question. Should cars be allowed to go through Times Square?
Fuck
Justin,
no.
What do you think?
I would never
drive
a
car
through
Times Square.
Who's going to Times Square?
So we live in Hell's Kitchen, and we went to the Macy's event, the parade.
The Macy's
sales event. No, we went to the parade. And then afterwards, we noticed that 7th Avenue was closed between like 59th and 40th. And so we walked through a completely car-free Times Square on Thanksgiving Day, and it was just wonderful. I mean, it's still Times Square.
I'll tell you what, if you hate cars, you should move upstate where I'm from. There's none because it's woods.
You
would like it up there.
80% of the people in the island I live in do not own a car. 100% of the people in Yogurtburg own cars. all right. Should the
We're fighting so hard.
Should the salt tax get repealed. So that's state and local taxes.
Ooh, this is a big one.
We used to be able to deduct your state and local taxes. Then Trump got rid of it to punish people who live in blue areas who have high state and local taxes. But then there's like Bernie Sanders and then the AOC of the world who are kind of fine with it being gone because maybe it was a tax on the rich. So should we get rid of it? Should we go back to the way it was?
This is, we're going to find out who's rich on this panel. You're like, yes.
Here's the
anyway.
Thing. I don't follow tax policy. I'm one of these people that like does not mind paying taxes. I pay a shit ton of money in taxes. But taxes pay for roads and schools. And yeah. Even though I am child free and proud to be, I think that we should like pay a lot of taxes so we can actually have like an educated society and like
nice
I don't
stuff.
Mind paying for other people.
Some of these garbage cans we were just talking about.
Yes, yeah, somebody's gonna pay for these trash cans.
I like those.
And I actually want to support public schools. It gets a little complicated because there is a lot of waste in the money that is paid with people.
And we're also paying the state, for a lot of states.
Our state is able to have high state and local taxes to pay for all of the things that we use because we're able to deduct them from our federal tax, whereas Mississippi maybe has like no taxes at all, and then they're taken from the federal government because we make more money than them.
This guy named Barry Said does my taxes in a children's clothing store
shouts
in Koreatown.
Shouts to him. What a promotion.
Is this a plug? Do you have a promo code?
Real plug to your tax
Cyber
guy.
Monday
but
deal,
well, I shouldn't have said his name, but I'm like, he hooks it up. I don't know what he does.
Wait, sorry, you said you meet him where?
In a children's clothing showroom in Koreatown.
So wait, really? just a couple follow up questions, real quick. He's there, or that's where you meet? Like, what? Why is he there?
He's there. Listen,
is he shopping?
The success of like your happiness in New York is. Knowing when to stop asking questions.
You know what?
I'm not questioning.
No, not you. But I'm like, yeah, we'll meet you and you'll do my taxes in this. Why is there little like girls' clothes? Okay,
but
whatever.
That's what my question is. I just want to pay.
His catchphrase was, "Hey, these are good numbers."
Yeah,
and I would just leave it alone.
Well, my other tax guy went to prison then rehab, so I had. And then I think I swear
he must have been good for you then.
I all got. Fat ass refunds.
Yeah,
I don't know. But like
the pre-rehab tax guy is the best.
Okay, next question. So
that was a promotional break.
GOP Twitter account recently called out Kamala Harris for buying a $370 pot.
Yes.
How much should a pot cost?
Listen,
wait,
I support...
Wait, pot? Like,
No, a pot.
Oh. It's a Le Creuset.
Le Creuset
I am a
is...
huge supporter of Le Creuset.
Yeah.
Because it is a pot that you can keep forever.
We got
years.
One when we got
it
married 10 years ago, and I use it
oven,
every single fucking
oven
day.
Oven to fridge, yes. I use mine every day. And like, settle down, Republicans. You guys spend way more money
they
on way
Donald
not,
Trump
way
for
more
4 years with, you know, gold furniture.
You
and
had
we're
a gold
calling
toilet.
Out a pot.
Your wife was eating diamonds like it was pasta.
But we
Stop
should
it.
Buy one fucking pot that yes. lasts right. 10 years.
Yes.
We got one for our wedding. You buy it. It lasts 10 years. I use it every motherfucking day. I used it this like, morning.
We do?
He
well, we
no
just,
idea.
No, well, we, I know. It's the red pot that's on the stove that I have to clean every now and then. But we just had our 10th anniversary. Are you saying we got to get a new pot?
We have to call your Aunt Marie and ask her for another one.
No.
Because
here's
we need
the
two,
thing.
Because Kamala Harris bought one and now we need a second.
If she had purchased like an expensive carrot, it would be an expensive carrot. An heirloom carrot was what was on. It doesn't matter. So like, that's a good pot. That's a fine
it's
pot.
It's a good pot. It's a good quality pot. If she bought a purse, that would be very cheap for a Louis Vuitton purse or whatever. It would be the price of what someone spent on leggings on Cyber Monday. And also, no, but it is like quality over quantity. And she doesn't have kids. And also, my favorite thing is the Trump Inc. podcast where they talked about how much Trump's Secret Service was spending. They had to buy jet skis to be able to provide security detail on our dime and like how much he was charging and stuff. Right. This bitch could buy a $300
pot. But I think what the larger question or the larger context is, because we saw the same thing with the Obamas, right? They bought one little thing, and it's basically like, these Negroes are spending money, they're spending your money,
right.
And like they're living hood rich. Whereas we never had this question over all the nonsense that the Trumps did, all the money that Donald Trump made in his pocket from his hotel, from Mar-a-Lago, from all the rooms
well,
that he made the
Ivanka might get arrested or something. Oh, but anyway, continue, sorry.
We we should keep it in prayer. But I mean, I think that there's a larger racial subtext to Kamala Harris, because it's the same thing anytime Michelle Obama wore like a nice dress. It's like, can you believe she's wearing designer? It's like, yeah, she's the fucking first lady. 100%. Like, she's not gonna, you know,
that's
she,
100%.
She went to Talbot's, she went to J. Crew. Like, she already did that.
She
every
was the
now
queen
and again,
of J. Crew.
She has to have like a designer gown, but it's this larger narrative of these Negroes waste our money, and that's the context of it.
That's the welfare queen kind of stuff. Yes. Which absolutely. The welfare queen was white.
But we never said anything about Melania and the Trumps literally gouging this country.
As
we
do they even cook? Years. Like, honestly, like, that's
do they
we all
have
know
a good
like,
do they have a good pesto
their,
recipe?
They
I doubt it.
They were buying
to be that rich
they were
to
buying like a pound
pesto.
Of pine nuts every fucking week. Yeah. Well, and speaking, as we learn, Melania eats diamonds.
Yeah, she
ago.
Does. Well, so
you know that picture where she's like, you know, there's the bowl of diamonds and she has the necklace and it looks like pasta and she's like eating it. And I was like, right, that's who you are, Melania.
I just want a Beatles-style documentary on what Melania was doing for the full 4 years in the Trump White House. I want to see every fucking
besides
moment.
Besides ripping up the garden.
I
want
to, yes, of course, all this stuff we heard about, I want to see the private moments where she was like looking at a book and being like, what is
you
this?
You know in like 4 years there are going to be 50 Lifetime movies about that. 50-plus Lifetime movies about
yeah, but they're going to be sympathetic to her.
And I'm available.
No, they're not. First of all, Lifetime is very pro-black. I know you haven't been watching, but Lifetime has made a concerted effort to aim to black women. So I would urge you to look at the things, because there's a show. There's a Halloween. No, there's a Christmas.
What do you mean? I watch all the Lifetime movies, Millie. What do you mean?
They're
you
so
know
good.
I'm watching.
This is
I am a
fight.
Lifetime
then she's you know that Kelly Rowland, yeah. Corbin Blue, Smokey Robinson, they all have Lifetime Christmas movies coming out this month.
Wait, no more Meredith Baxter Burney and no more Nancy.
They still do those.
I have a feeling they're still doing that shit
Reba
too.
You know who I know they're aiming towards black women? Because Reba McEntire has a movie coming out. And no, they
the
are.
Ultimate
but it circles around. It's
crossover.
Black women love Reba.
Everybody loves
all right. On that note, we're going to have to say goodnight. We are out of time. Black women love
outro.
Reba. Cody's a Lifetime whore.
Yeah, you can't keep fancy down, you know?
Thank you guys so much for coming out to Caveat. Really great show tonight. Give it up for our panel. Woo! Dr. Christina Greer, Millie Tamarez, and Justin Tyler. Check out our podcast online. Subscribe. Listen to future shows. Give us a review and a rating. And... don't forget to vote in midterm elections.
That's
and turn that ballot over. Turn good night, everybody.
I think I speak for all of us when I say drive cars.
Oh, no, what the fuck?